Okay, next section, breakaway economics. I put up my favorite cartoon ever, the one that Bob Parsons made for us. It shows a UFO above Congress, and we have little bubbles coming out of Congress. One says, "We convene this hearing to investigate the loss of $4 trillion from the Department of Defense, which has somehow been misplaced. Mr. Secretary, please pass out the DOD's ledgers." And the other bubble says, "Mr. Chairman, when you know it, but it appears a UFO has abducted our accountant and all the files, and the money is rushing up into this UFO, and on it it says Lockheed Martian." Very funny. But the question is, where is the money? You know, $40 trillion has been shifted out in the financial coup d'etat. I put a listing of and a breakdown of that $40 trillion in the annual wrap-up. Take a look at it if you're interested. Where is it? Is it being spent in space? Is it building underground facilities? Is it paying for global spraying? Is it what's financing all these mean-tested subsidies? Is it an endowment to finance a one-world government? Where's the $40 trillion? I always tell everybody, crime that pays is crime that stays. If you can steal $40 trillion, then you can buy almost everybody, and everybody knows you got away with it. So this is a major governance issue. It's also a major governance issue because as we watch the Internet of Things roll out, we're literally watching a leadership which is digitizing everything with very invasive surveillance and control technology. It's literally the integration of machines and people. I put up on the comic book a wonderful, one of my favorite videos to describe this invasiveness of the digital systems, a wonderful version of done at the Paris Opera of Stravinsky's Nightingale. And believe it or not, it is the best artistic expression of what all this sort of Internet of Things is all about. It's absolutely fantastic, and it's now free on the Internet. So if you haven't watched it, I really encourage you to do it. If you want to really understand from, you know, a lovely artistic expression of what the Internet of Things is all about, you can find it. But clearly, I think part of it is you have a small group of people in control, and they're afraid of something. The question is, what are they afraid of? Are they just afraid of shrinking resources, a bigger and bigger population, and how a small minority can stay in control? It could be that simple. But certainly they're acting from a place of fear and trying to prevent, sort of maintain control and manage their risk. And I think our opportunity is to say, okay, well, that's what they're doing from our point of view. How can we solve the real problems and do it in a way which is a lot nicer and from a much higher mind? Because the more the global population goes to a higher level of consciousness and really fixes and addresses the problems, the more they can lower their fear levels and sort of maybe engage with us. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to move to a model that is not so dependent on force, not so dependent on violence. Let's see what happens. As you know, I think ultimately the greatest powers on this planet are spiritual, not any man-made powers. And so, I think the positive is here to be done. I don't underestimate the pain and suffering that can occur before the good guys win. But I continue to harp on the fact, before we can craft real solutions, we need to understand who's really in charge and what are they afraid of. It's a question I keep asking. I've been asking it my whole life. I've been trying to get to the bottom of it. We've had some wonderful Solari reports. We had Richard Dolan on UFOs, Joseph Farrell on the metastructure, and Joseph will be back in I think April or May. It's coming up soon. Anyway, but wonderful conversations to get further and further into who's really in charge and what's going on. And then tremendous focus. You're going to see continue this year on where is that $40 trillion being reinvested in the day-to-day economy. What's the new technology that's being reinvested in? Where is that reinvestment in the infrastructure going? How does that work? Something that's very important to our businesses, our careers, and our assets and investments. Finally, I want to talk a little bit about Alibaba, because I think Alibaba is going to rock the world, and it's coming soon. Alibaba is the largest online store in the world. It was started 18 years ago in a living room in China by a school teacher who taught English and didn't know how to use a computer, but he saw the opportunity. His name is Jack Ma. As of April 2nd, their relative market capitalization, let me just read it off to you, and you can find this on the comic book. General Motors had a market value of $55 billion. Goldman Sachs had a market value of $78 billion. Intel had a market value of $125 billion. And the underwriters estimated that Alibaba's market value was $140 billion, essentially three times bigger than General Motors. I put up several charts, one showing the growth of e-commerce sales in China versus the United States in 2012. The size of the e-commerce market in China surpassed the United States and is skyrocketing. It's headed towards almost double now, and it's going to grow. Two other big internet presence in China, JD.com and Weibo, are also looking to go public. And I think when Alibaba, when the IPO happens, apparently the size that they're planning on going with is going to be bigger than Facebook. But when Alibaba comes public this spring in the United States, it's really going to focus many people in the developed world on the size of this consumer market, this 2 million people online, and the size and the juggernaut of it and the reorganization of the global consumer through online systems. So look for that IPO. None of this is an investment recommendation. One of the things you'll find is, there's an old rule in the investment world, never buy on the IPO. But I've used in this presentation lots of stocks or ETFs so that you could see the dynamics of the trends we're talking about. Please, none of this is a, please don't view this as a recommendation for any of it. And at the bottom, we have a disclaimer saying if you need investment advice, seek it from a means that can give it to you and focus on your unique circumstance and based on what makes sense as an attractive investment for you as opposed to what's describing a trend. So please don't assume that the use of any of these is an encouragement to invest in them whatsoever. But I do think, as I said, Alibaba is going to be a bell that reminds everybody of the shift in the size of the consumer markets and what's that going to mean to our world. Okay, breakaway. Steps you can take your breakaway. Number one, bank intimate. Forget online systems. You need bankers you can trust. And I, for one, when it comes to banking, there's nothing like good old time bankers you can trust. I think it makes an enormous difference. I put up a link to our bank intimate page. If you haven't found a great local bank or credit union, you need to bank with people you trust, particularly when systems are this invasive and this hackable. So you need bankers you can trust, and you need to know your bankers, and they need to know you. It's a critical part of your financial world and life. And in your community, it can be a tremendous part of your business relationship. So for heaven's sakes, you want to bank with people you can trust. 2014 elections, who knows what's going to happen in the federal elections, but you really want to make your voice heard on the local elections. Those are going to be much harder to buy and to rig. And I've seen all the money on the planet try to rig a local election, and the local folks fight back and prevent them from doing it despite the machines and everything else. So pay attention, because if you can get the Charlie Farnsworth elected, it can make an enormous difference in your safety and well-being and financial situation. So focus on the local elections. They're going to be important. As I said, tax time, please be impeccable. There is no privacy, in my opinion, and you need to be impeccable in terms of your paperwork, and you need to be impeccable in terms of your reporting. Re-engineer expenses down. A lot of this business fighting over different sectors means we're in a time when literally every month you can renegotiate your telecom bill. you need to be very creative about re-engineering your expenses down, because we're seeing a lot happen on the expense side of the financial statements, both for business and consumer. A lot is happening that's very deflationary, and you want to take advantage of that. Also, identify niche markets. Everybody moving online means that the long tail can be a great business. The long tail means very small volumes can make a lot of money and be a great business for niche players. So keep learning and looking. I put up on the blog a little blog post about my first Etsy purchase. Etsy is a website that caters to craftsmen. And if you can't find something in your local market, you may find a local player. It's going to be in another local area, but wonderful craftsmen, wonderful materials, wonderful products that are very competitive in terms of price. Look for walkaways and workarounds. I see more and more people saying, that's it. whether it's healthcare or other areas, a lot around food. If you have opportunities to form circles in your area of people who are interested in helping each other, be your own doctor or be your own gardener, whatever the issues are that you're dealing with on health and food and local elections, whatever, organization can help where you organize your time and effort to be energizing for you and the people who participate. You need people you like and you need people you trust. You've got to be very careful. Reverse the spin on small business, municipal officials, and public pensions. Don't let this spin roll down on you, because if you let the spin have its way, the next thing you know, the wrong people are getting their mitts on the public pension fund money and engineering money in ways. There are tremendous pots of assets, both at the municipalities and the state governments, and in governmental corporations related to, affiliated, or controlled by them. There's a competition underway for those pots, and you want to make sure that money's safe. That money is very important assets, and also assets that can be protect you from ridiculous and stupid privatizations. I always tell people, why are you letting foreigners buy your local utility? Good heavens, get together, and it's a good investment, especially for at least 401ks we're going to be dictated to have. Invest in yourself in the future. Do not forget to invest in yourself and the people in your family. This is a world where intellectual capital is the basis of great wealth, but we have to invest in our education, our training, and it's really about lifelong learning. Outwit the entrainment trance. All of this media, smartphones, internet, TV, all comes with entrainment. If you haven't listened to the Salieri Report on entrainment, please do, before Edward Snowden. God bless Edward Snowden now. People understand what I'm saying. You want to listen to the Salieri Report I do with Charles Smith on soft weapons as well. I can't tell you how many times I see businesses, I see families played with this technology. Somebody moves into a place like the Ukraine and they are working people, divide and conquer. And there are very few teams or businesses I've seen ever be able to understand what's happening and to outwit it. We can if we can see it. So please listen to the Salieri Report on entrainment that I did with Adam Trump, a wonderful, wonderful ally. Finally, Net Energy Plus. When things are changing in these extraordinary ways, you have to look at everything through the prism of what is an opportunity and the importance of being and playing Net Energy Plus. By that, I mean you need to give energy and you need to get energy. And so you need to find a way to work with everyone in your life. You need to find ways of understanding what they do and where they're going and teach them about you and what you're doing and where you're going, so you can always align with them to give and get energy. I feel like I have a moral obligation to give energy to those around me in a way that gives me energy. That's what, keeps the optimization going. We used to, do that very naturally with markets, and we had currencies or we had markets that gave us better prices than we get now. But we can all figure this out if we're willing to play Net Energy Plus. And what it means is that you're going to have to let a lot of people and things go, because when things are changing this dynamically, something that was economic last year, it's not economic this year. Somebody who you're ready to shift to 3.0, somebody you love is not willing to shift. you got to let them go and make the shift, because this is, you know, the reorganization of the consumer markets is literally a financial tsunami, and it's here, good or bad. And much of it is driven by the embracing of the technology by the consumers around the world. It is what it is. Finally, under Breakaway, I had to put up what I think is one of the most important stories that rocked my world this year. I learned about it in the first quarter. It's a TED speech. It's up on the blog this week. Scientists working on human-to-dolphin translator report their first successful interaction. We have created now a way of communicating directly with dolphins. As I said to our wonderful blog master who tipped me off to the story, fantastic, the human race has now learned to talk to a higher intelligence, and now we can start to hear the wisdom we need if we're going to evolve to a higher mind. If you've ever spent time with the whales or dolphins, it's a life-changing experience. I continue to believe that they are more intelligent in many respects than we are, and I, for one, think the idea that we could start to communicate more effectively with the other species whom we share this planet is absolutely delightful and very much in keeping with our theme tonight of spring fever. So as one ally says, just think of all the living beings in the planet as our potential allies, including the dolphins. Okay, finally, in the comic book, I wanted to point out to you, we had great resources in the first quarter. We listed out our first quarter salary reports, our top commentaries. They're all there for you. We had some questions, and before we close, I'd like to cover some of them. One question was, thank you for your fine work. In a recent segment, you courageously mentioned how hospitals are now potentially dangerous places to be. My sense is that very few people will be able to wrap their minds around the truth or around the darker aspects of the healthcare agenda, but you are correct, and all any of us can do is warn people and tell the truth. Thanks for that comment. I agree. I think it is very important when you navigate many of the healthcare systems that you understand that they are very regulated, they are very controlled, they are subject to all sorts of perverse economic issues, and when we go in them and navigate them, we need to be very, very careful and not assume that they have our best interests in heart. Another question, in the first quarter wrap-up, please talk about the implications of the internet being given to the UN's front group. Are alternative news sources like this one threatened by this development? What are some alternatives? Excellent question. I don't know what the alternatives are. What the author of that question was speaking about was the turning over of the naming conventions to a global not-for-profit out of the control of the United States. It was kind of an astonishing development. You wonder what the politics were. I suspect part of it was the politics of getting Europe on board to deal with some of the issues in Ukraine and some of the desire to get Europe to agree to moving forward with the trade agreement with the United States. But who can say? The reality is, if you look at the importance of the internet, as we move to systems where everybody's online, it gets progressively harder for the United States to say that they can control. But there's no doubt about it that that was an extraordinary PowerPoint. And what the ramifications are going to be is a big question. I think the danger, it wouldn't surprise me if one of the pressures for that is there's more and more threat of the balkanization of the internet. And I think that was designed to stop it, given the Snowden revelations. We are in real trouble in terms of our holding everyone into the system without balkanization and what that means to American businesses. So make no mistake about it, the Snowden revelations have been extremely expensive for the U.S. position and U.S. businesses in relationship to internet and internet access. A few times I've tripped across your discussing equity investment based on place, and you tried to get something like it going in the 1990s. I'm not sure I understand the concept. Do you have a longer discussion on it somewhere? Yes, if you check in the article section, you can find some of our old materials on place-based investment. and you might want to troll around in the articles and look at some of those. There's a backcasting, and there's an old manual we wrote on how to sort of organize an effort for a place. What I will attempt to do in the first, sometime this year, is to do more on place-based investment, because I clearly believe it's coming, and I also think it's essential. One question they asked was, are you still working on the board game, and what is the name of it? We have been working on a board game for place-based investment and stopped. It makes a lot more sense to do it in digital form. Question continues. My quest for getting the highest quality of information keeps getting better and better. I really like Doug Casey's stuff, but that there was just your puzzle piece. They're referring to the interview I did with Doug Casey on the Popsicle Index, or Doug Casey's group. I'm very grateful for your optimism and uplifting inspiration while putting a crazy and beautiful world together. Okay, a question. What are your thoughts on the recent comments from Christine Lagarde from Hopkins on the second in reference to the global financial reset? I have not heard those. I will endeavor to do that. Lagarde indicates that 180 countries will move forward with a reformation of the financial system to encourage an open growth more so to the emerging markets. The USA is holding things up, she states. Does the US dollar continue to weaken as China, India, and Russia posture against using anything but the US dollar? I've read the articles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There is no doubt that there it's pushing around the world for a variety of reforms and changes to the financial system, including to deal with the debt burden. The United States has been holding out on reforms necessary for the IMF to move forward. Of course, we had a chill go through the developed world, as Lagarde talked about a wealth tax, and I think many people are concerned about that. So is the U.S. balking at a global financial reset? Absolutely. And will it continue to do so? Yes, it's going to continue to do so, but it will, the reality of the marketplace is going to steadily chip away. I think in many respects, this continues to be a military question, because the United States has enormous invisible weaponry. Two of the stories I put up for the comic book for this wrap-up include a story about invisible planes, and our new destroyer is a drone from the Navy. That's up on the blog this week. Next question. You mentioned in the Breakaway Economy Part 2 that you thought solar will have some role in the energy future. Some organizations have goals of moving to all solar and other renewable energies by 2050. Do you think this is even possible, given the challenges of current availability and access to rare earth minerals necessary for this technology? Very good question. I think I believe, given the innovation going on in this area, that we're going to see, and it's hard to predict, but we're going to see many solutions to many of the materials issues. But it's because of questions like this, what technologies get adopted, what make it, what don't, are very tricky to decide. I'm not a solar expert, so I don't know. What I do see is a number of breakthroughs happening, as I said again, particularly with batteries, that could make an enormous difference. I continue to believe, because of the UFO evidence, that there are much more efficient technologies potentially available, but that all of these threaten the fundamental petrodollar model, and so it's not going to be until the powers that be are ready to bring breakthrough energy yet. You know, it's going to be one of the rabbits they bring out of the hat. When you ask a question, what's the exit plan on unemployment? One of the possible exit plans could be free energy. The danger, of course, is if you bring that kind of breakthrough energy, if you drop the cost of energy that much, you run the risk, many feel, of an explosion in population, and it's something that they're very concerned about. So watch the integration of new energy technology or making renewables really economic. Watch that be a function of the control they need for the currency and the control they need top-down. If you get a real Internet of Things and a virtual currency with top-down control, it makes it much more easy for the powers that be to move to much more aggressive technology that lowers the energy prices. Let's see. I would like to know if you would be able to do a rundown or report on the boom and bust towns. As a guy looking for fortunes and safety, I really want to place myself in a boom state. Would you be able to guide us in the best and worst areas? That's a very good idea. I will think about who I can find to help me do that. But I will certainly do that as well. Next question from a great subscriber. Are you going to address the recent IPCC report on climate change in any way? I didn't talk about it in the wrap-up because whenever reports come out about climate change, they don't address all the different issues of geoengineering and what's being done to address the what's happening with the weather. And what I've said many times is until we're willing to put onto the table all the things going on with the weather, I don't trust any of these reports. I don't trust where they're going. And, and that's why I much prefer the Reddit kind of discussions on these issues. So I haven't brought it up, but there's no doubt about it. You're seeing more and more pressure and concern on the climate change issues. The one that was probably the most frightening was the story this year up on the blog of the academician who proposed we build huge walls to stop tornadoes right across the middle of the country. And it reminded me tremendously of one of Doris Lessing's novels about the planet that's dying and the extent of using environmental or huge walls to deal with weird weather. So very scary development. But anyway, so I haven't mentioned the report on climate change. I continue to look for people who I feel we could get onto the Salyer report to discuss climate change. But it's obviously a huge issue. And one that I'm very concerned about is going to be abused enormously. But that's why I didn't address it. A final comment, our movie this week was something called The Lives of Others. It's a 2006 movie, German movie, on a surveillance situation in East Germany before the wall came down by the East German police, the Stasi. And it's a remarkable film, and I would love to tell you a lot about it, but I don't want to give away the plot. I really encourage you to watch it. It's about the kind of things that happen in a situation with very invasive surveillance, and it has lessons for all of us in living in a society that's very rife with surveillance. The thing that's beautiful about it is it tells a story of how humans continue to be humans, no matter how much the system tries to get them to be inhuman. And I cannot tell you, it certainly was something that happened to me many times. I was in a situation a while back where I was dealing with very significant physical harassment surveillance, and repeatedly the people who were supposed to be doing surveillance on me, became helpful and I wouldn't say became my friends, but, somehow we got into cahoots and things turned out in very interesting ways. And it very much fits with the theme of the movie. But one of our subscribers posted a comment that I just had to read. I thought it was a lovely description of this movie. I encourage you all to watch it, called The Lives of Others. Catherine, I first saw The Lives of Others here in Chicago a couple of years ago when it first came out, and I was absolutely blown away. I couldn't stop crying at the end. It's a quiet film full of nuance, and you have to pay close attention to follow the plot, but I have rarely seen such an affecting portrayal of the redemption of a single man, from eager participant in an evil system to conscious resistor. It's such a rewarding film that I hope everyone will see it. I think of it as a call to action for each one of us. Bravo. Anyway, The Lives of Other, I recommend it to you, a remarkable German movie from 2006.